So yeah, I'd love to ask you about if you could give somebody some advice about how to heal. Like, I believe that we can heal a lot with our minds, we can heal a lot with our vibrations. I would just love your thoughts on that.
Yes, the healing with the mind, that's a very interesting idea. We understand, we agree with it, and we use it quite a lot because we say to people, not necessarily to change that thought, but instead of, let's just say that when something happens to them, they immediately become depressed, or that is their reaction, or they immediately become angry. We might say to them, instead of that, look at it from this other point of view and have a new emotion or something like that. So it's not just changing the thought, it's changing the thought about whatever it is that is causing them the problem, right? And also having an emotional, a different emotional response. But with that, what we really try to stress with people and what we try to convey to people is, yes, you can change your thoughts, absolutely. You can change your emotional responses. But at the end of the day, there is this energetic, as it's, and it's yes, vibrational, but there is an energetic energy, if you like, that really encompasses whatever it is. So what we call that is the mind body, right? And not mind and body, but one word, the mind body. So let's say that you have, again, we go back to this problem with the parents. Let's say you have a problem with the parents, right? And you put that in a sphere, and now that's the mind body. In that sphere, you don't just have the parents and the problem. You've got every single interaction, every single trigger, every single experience, in that sphere. Now, in that sphere as well, you will have the reason why you have this problem with the parents. So it could be ancestral just for you. It could be ancestral for the parents. It could be societal. It could be experiential. There is a whole range of things that are in that mind body. And so energetically, you can change your, you can change your thought. You can change your emotional response. You can, as you said before, there is nutrition. There's a whole range of things, but the energy itself, that's the thing that has to not change, but be allowed to flow. And that's, for us, the biggest gift that we feel we can give to somebody is to say, let that energy flow. Okay, you don't like the parents, you have a big problem with the parents, but what you're doing is stopping that energy. Every time you are triggered, or every time you have a fight, or whatever you want, whatever is going on, it adds more of that negative, angry, hateful, whatever the emotions are, energy into that sphere, and that clogs it up, and it makes it heavy, and it's like a lodestone around your neck, and you carry it around with you. So yes, there's the mind, yes, there's the emotions, yes, there's the body, and of course, the spirit we consider is part of this energetic, this energy that's loaded into that sphere. And what we said to him, we have to get that flowing. We actually have to let some of that out of the sphere. And we have to allow that energy to flow. Otherwise, you're just, as you said, it's going to be the lodestone around you, and it will be dragging on the ground, dragging you on the ground, and it will just get bigger and heavier and denser, and it will become like, what can you say, Bradley? Like gel, not like mud and rocks and nasty slime and all of this. That's what ends up being in that sphere unless we can get the energy to flow. You understand?
Yes, I totally understand. Just deviating a little bit. Obviously, traditional medicine doesn't think this way. It's a little bit stuck in the old way where they just want to treat the body all the time. And obviously, we now know that that isn't the way to go forward when we're looking at healing. So, what do you think needs to happen in order for traditional medicine to catch up, I suppose? And what would somebody need to do in order if they had been to a doctor and then really not getting the information that they need, how would somebody be able to find what they need?
Well, first of all, Western medicine doesn't think they have to catch up. It's us that has to catch up to them, right? That's they're already out there in the limelight. So we're just making the joke, Sharon. Well, we will give an example, and Caroline, she doesn't mind. She said, okay, go ahead. Caroline has been ill for some 3 or 4 weeks. And, but it started after she had a shamanic healing. So she had the shamanic healing, and then all of these things started to happen to her, including depression and anxiety and physical problems, and they just kept coming. It was like wave after wave after wave. But she knew that this was like a purge, and she had to go through it, and she had to allow that energy to flow. It goes back to exactly what we said. People will take the the headache tablets, and they will take the antibiotics and all of these types of things, to antivirals and what have you, to stop the energy flow. So yes, of course you go to the doctor, and okay, if you have a really serious injury or illness that is really that is life-threatening, that right now, then of course you have to have the emergency help, right? We would never say to people, don't have anything. You have to have the emergency help. But after the crisis has passed, then we say, let it flow, let that energy flow. And the biggest problem that faces, especially in the Western society, is not Western medical system, is not the illness itself, is not the medicines. It is the work ethic. You imagine, Sharon, that you have a cold, right? And you're working full time, and you have how many weeks, how much time do you have off for sick leave in this country? Let's just say 10 days or something, right? That's what you get. You've had the cold and you're feeling better after 1 week. So you have to go back to work because you have children. You can't take all of your sick leave off for yourself. That you have a busy schedule at work. They need you. It's not societally acceptable to take more than a week off. That's even the worst. That's even not good if you have the flu or something. And so you go back to work and you take all of those tablets to squash the energy that's actually trying to leave your body. So what really needs to happen is that you have this, you give yourself the space and the time to let that energy flow, to let that energy leave your body, to let you be more sick, to let you be depressed, to let you be anxious, to let you have the headaches, to let you sleep. You know, and that is the biggest problem, because there is no time for the convalescence. There's no time to actually let the energy flow. You have to get sick, be quick about healing, take everything you can, and then get back to business. And that's the problem. And Western medical system has enabled that.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. We're told that, depression is a bad thing, or feeling angry or feeling sad is a bad thing, but actually they're just emotions and they come and go. And I think the fact that we hold on to these things, or there's a lot of shame surrounding being depressed or having anxiety, rather than letting it flow through our body, nobody's depressed 100% all of the time. We've got this flow of emotions. And I just think it's mindset again, isn't it? It's our mindset that needs to change, to not see emotions as a good or bad. They just are what they are, and they just need to flow through us.
Yes, but not just the emotions, it's the illnesses themselves. Mm-hmm. Why do you get a flu? Why do people get the flu, for example, influenza? Okay, maybe it's a bug that's going around and they get that. But they get it because, okay, the immune system is down. Why is their immune system down? They are stressed, they are unhappy, they are busy, all of these types of things. So it's actually getting an illness is the body saying, come on, let's rest. We cannot keep this pace up. We can't. Okay? We have to stop. And if the only way to get you to stop is for you to get ill, then that's what we're going to do. Unfortunately, it doesn't always work, because as people work through their illness and then they spread it around, or they, as we said, they have just a few days off until they get over the very worst, and then they go back to their work. So it's, yes, there's the emotions, and there's, you know, as you say, the depression and the anxiety, but it's more than that. It's the whole picture. If you have, everybody knows, you have a fever, all of your practitioners will know, somebody that has a fever is trying to purge themselves of something, or they're trying to change, you know, move from one state of being to another state of being. So there is this, the body actually helps. And this is the other thing. People, when they get sick, think that the body is betraying them. They really think that, you know, the body is breaking down and it's not doing its job. But actually, the body is helping them when it gets into this state of illness. And if people can realize that, then their whole perception of what is going on will change. Instead of focusing on their physical ailments and the fact that it's taking them out of their work or taking them away from their children or whatever, they will start to look at that and say, okay, my body is trying to help me because it's got sick. For why? Why did it get sick? Am I too stressed? Am I doing too much in my life? Is there too much calling on me, and so on and so forth? Is this something that I have been holding on to for years? Is this an ancestral thing that I am now given the opportunity to rid the whole family line of this thing? So when people are ill, if they can start to think, not that the body is betraying them, not that they are, you know, not healthy and what have you, but actually, in a way, they're at the peak of health because the body is saying to them, this is what we have to work on. There's something here we have to work on. We're going to give you the space and the time to do it. Let's go and do it. But of course, especially in the West, that's just not acceptable. You just cannot take the time for that.
Yeah, that's so true, isn't it? I mean, if we start seeing sickness as a gift, because that's the time where we really slow down, isn't it? We have to stop. We have to sort of go inwards, and healing is about going inwards. It isn't about going to a practitioner and, you know, dumping all your stuff on them and getting them to do it for you. Any type of healing is going inwards, isn't it?
It is. And because when you think about it, any kind of sickness is coming from the in, right? It's coming in. Even if you have something on the skin, it's something inside you that's pushing out of the body and coming out, you know, on the skin in some way. So, yes, and if people were, as you say, more mindful of the fact that this is a gift, this illness is a gift, what is it trying to give me? What is the illness trying to give me? Because that's actually quite difficult. Mm-hmm. You know, because an illness, for example, Caroline started with one thing, and then that's moved into another and another and another, and it's still moving. It's still going. All of the gift, she's not quite sure she's got the gift yet, because it keeps moving, right? It keeps evolving, and then she comes to something, and then she talks about it, and then she moves on to the next thing. And so sometimes it's really quite difficult to find the gift, which is why you need time. That's why you need time. And, you know, for humans, they don't live, really, in the big scheme of things, they don't live very long. Even if they lived 100 years, it's not that long, right, really. And so they've got a lot to do. They've got a lot to get on with in that space and time. And so they really want to keep moving. They don't want to stop and look at themselves. You know, it's like if you go to, let's say that you have a day off and you just go outside and you lie on the grass and you just look at the clouds moving across the sky and you see all of the possibilities in those clouds, right? And then you look and there are the trees and whatever. Who does that? Nobody does that, because on the day off, you've got to clean the house, wash the clothes, cook for the week, do the shopping, take the children out. You've got this and that and whatever, all of these things to do, right? But that compounds you're already full life. If you can, and actually creates more work. If you can go, if you went out and looked and lay on the grass and did that, you actually would have more time in your day. We would challenge people to do that, actually. We would say to people, okay, you've got a day off. We want you to write the list of all of the things you've got to do. And in 1 week, we want you to do all of those things. No relaxing. Just do all of the things you've got. Then in the next weekend or whatever it is, write the list again. Make sure it's an even type of list. And then go and lie on the grass in the morning, looking at the clouds with the family or by yourself. And just be with that space. Be with all of that energy. Feel it filling you up. Feel yourself becoming as one with that energy that's around you. Maybe for 1 hour, maybe for 2 hours, whatever you feel like. Just be out there and then go and do your work. We guarantee the work will be done a lot quicker than it was the weekend before, and you will have time to relax in the evening or in the afternoon. We guarantee it. We'd actually like somebody to take the challenge, because when you give yourself space and time, and you give yourself space and time where you are actually in space and time, right, out in the light with the clouds and the sky and the birds and the trees, when you are actually in that space and time, you become space and time. What we try to do is to control space and time. We try to gather it into our sphere, and we try to crush it in there and make it ours. And of course, all that happens is it becomes hard and brittle and it breaks and it's not there. When you can become space and time, not only do those things that you have to do seem not so important, but they also become more fluid. It's exactly what we're talking about when you're healing. You have to let the energy flow. If you try to clamp down on it and make it happen, then it will break. It will break. But if you allow it to flow and then be a part of that space and time, be a part of that flow, everything is different. Everything is different. Everything changes.
Wow. I think that's a great way to finish off this interview.